I invite you to be seated. Hypocrite. I never go to church, boasted a wandering member. Perhaps you've noticed that, Pastor. Yes, I have noticed that, said the pastor. Well, the reason I don't go is because there are so many hypocrites there. Oh, don't let that keep you away, replied the pastor with a smile. There's always room for one more. So this passage that we're going to take a look at today from Mark chapter 7 has some pretty big topics. And I could have done a sermon on just one of these, but I couldn't decide. I was turmoiled about this, so I'm doing all three. So it's going to be a very long sermon. I'm kidding. But anyway, let's take a look at this. In Mark chapter 7, there's three things that I want to touch on this morning. Now, when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. These next two verses, by the way, have parentheses around them. The reason for that, it'll be in your Bibles too, is because this is Mark kind of giving us commentary, because he's writing this to Gentiles. We are Gentiles that don't understand all these rituals, so he's going to explain it now. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels, and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Okay, the first topic, traditions. Who here has family traditions? Maybe especially at like Thanksgiving or Christmas time, do you have traditions in your family? You know, like you make this certain dish every Thanksgiving, and if you don't, it's just off. Or you have to sit at a special spot at the Thanksgiving table. Or Christmas, you open your presents this time with these people and this time with that people. Do you guys have those? Do you always enjoy them? Or is there sometimes a lot of stress involved because these traditions are things you have to do? Or, if you don't do them, someone's going to get mad. Right? Nobody wants to admit it. Well, churches, I didn't know if you knew this, have traditions too. And so does Promise. And if you don't believe me, just try to sit in somebody else's seat on Sunday morning. You all sit in the same spot, which actually helps me learn everybody, by the way. Tradition simply means something handed down or given over to the next generation. And in this passage, the Pharisees were accusing the disciples of not following the tradition of the elders. They didn't wash their hands before eating. The gall. How many of you were told by your parents to wash your hands before eating? And guess what? This wasn't the Pharisees concerned about hygiene. It has nothing to do with that. This was all about ritual. The tradition of the elders that these Pharisees are talking about was not part of God's commands. These were all man-made laws that have been added to God's commands over the centuries that were handed down from the leaders to the and eventually to these Pharisees. All these man-made laws that they imposed on the people. So connecting the washing, the Jews taught that one needed to wash with the fist. the left arm extended, and washed with that of the right arm, all the way to their elbow. So it's kind of like the way surgeons wash their hands. This is what they were supposed to do before all kinds. It wasn't just before eating either, by the way. There were a number of times they had to do this ritual of washing, or at least they told people they had to do them. The stress of this is being very thorough when you're washing. And this was all opposed to the following of God's command. You know, we sinners tend to bend God's commands, don't we? Making our own rules and traditions, maybe to make ourselves feel better because we're not really following God's command. Please don't misunderstand here, by the way. This passage is not saying that traditions are bad. It's not saying that at all. Traditions are good. There are a lot of great traditions that have been handed down, especially in our church. The Nicene Creed that we just read was first written in the fourth century, that's been handed down in the Christian church. The Lord's Prayer, of course, came from Jesus' mouth himself. There's all kinds of great traditions that the church has passed down. And the traditions that you have in your families aren't bad. They can all be good. The problem here is the Pharisees were using these man-made laws as necessary. And if you want to be right with God, you have to do this, and this. That's adding to God's word. And the second we do that with our traditions, it becomes a problem. And the point I want to make here, traditions are treasures and not idols. Let's move on to the next big topic here that Jesus drops on them. Remember, they asked him, why do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat? And Jesus said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, I just read this, by the way, from Isaiah. And Jesus is now quoting this. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. So Jesus calls them hypocrites. Do you think the Pharisees liked this, by the way? Of course not. And Jesus is defending his disciples here and calls out the Pharisees. This hypocrisy thing was not new to God. As I read in Isaiah, it was the same problem they had back then. It's the same problem we have century after century after century. We want to make everything about us and what we're doing. The word hypocrite, by the way, comes from a Greek word associated with the theater. So Greek actors wore masks to portray a character. So the word comes from the intentional act of putting up a false front. That's what hypocrite means. So hypocrisy involves an intentional decision most of the time. If I say something to gain favor while knowing very well that I never intend on doing that, I am being a hypocrite. So let me ask you all here this morning, how often do you pretend to be something you're not? Do you wear a mask on Sunday to portray a character? And then do you put on a different mask during the other 6 days? The Pharisees were talking about the ritual of hand washing with the one, capital O, capital N, capital E, the one who could wash their hearts. You know, people do like to say the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites and use it as a reason to not go to church. This is always one of the main reasons why people say they don't go to church. Oh, it's just a bunch of hypocrites there. Yeah? And why aren't you there? But it's a reason that's used. It's true, the church is full of hypocrites, which is also another helpful reminder to us. You know, there's a lot of law in this passage I just read. There's no feel goods here from Jesus. It's all Jesus laying down the law. You know, this whole mask thing got me to thinking about something. We live in a world that says we need to have it all together, don't we? It's all about how we look on the outside. Things may look great on the outside when we're wearing that mask, but we're dying on the inside. We tend to mask that. We don't want to let people see the real us, do we? You know, this is very apparent on social media, you know, things like Facebook. I know that's not the cool thing anymore for you kids, but for us older people. How often do you see people posting pictures of their family fights? Or people not getting along? It's usually happy family, you know, man, they have it all together. I wish we could be like that family. You know, we don't intend to be hypocrites some of the times. But sometimes it's just easier wearing the mask, isn't it? We hypocrites need a savior. Then Jesus talks about this whole honoring with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, the Pharisees too were more concerned with their outward appearance to everybody that was around them. They were more concerned with that than following God's word. In fact, they were so far off track that they were leading all the people of God astray by thinking they had to follow all these man-made laws. They were so far off course. But you know what? It's easy to point out the Pharisees, but how often do we get caught up in this? Trying to justify our actions, making ourselves look better, making up our own rules. And Jesus was more concerned with their hearts than with their hands, as he is with us as well. God wants more than lip service from us. He wants our whole heart. You know, when we do or say all the right Christian words, because that's what we are supposed to do, and if we are doing the Nicene Creed, which we just did, and you're just rattling it off, maybe saying every other sentence or not even really paying attention to what you're saying, that's kind of honoring God with just your lips. Same thing with the Lord's Prayer. It's something we do every Sunday. We can get caught up in just the motions, can't we? Honoring God with our lips while our hearts are far from him. Have you ever been guilty of just going through the motions when it comes to your faith walk? You know, we have a tradition in the Lutheran Church of confirmation. It's a good tradition. But how often is that treated? Oh, that's something I got to get my kid to so that I can check that box off. Do you come to church because you have to? It's that thing we do. It's part of tradition. You know, we do it on Sunday morning. We go out for breakfast afterwards. It's tradition. That box is checked. God wants more than lip service. He wants our whole heart. In fact, he wants our whole heart so much that that he did more than just pay lip service to it. And he sent his son Jesus, who came to give us a new heart. He sent his son Jesus to earth to become like you. He became one of the sheep like us, even though he is the Lamb of God. He came to fulfill the law for you. We can't do it. You heard Megan talk to the kids about it. We screw the Ten Commandments up pretty much on a daily basis. He came to take on each and every one of your sins upon himself for you. He was spit on for you. He was punched in the face for you. He wore a crown of thorns for you. He was flogged for you. He was nailed to a cross for you. He bled and died on that cross for you. His whole heart was in it, 100%, because of his love for you. Amen.